A blowout win? Yeah. The Boston Celtics actually had an easy one for once. And I'm going to talk about it on this Monday Locked On Celtics. Move. Let's go. Rainy J's back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making this show part of your daily routine. I'm happy that you've decided to download the show wherever you're going, whatever you're doing. I hope that you are enjoying your day just a little bit more by listening to the podcast. I'm John Corrales. I host the show Monday through Friday, so if you're new, this is going to be a daily podcast delivered straight to you on your device if you subscribe 5 days a week. I cover the Boston Celtics for Boston Sports Journal. You can subscribe there. With the promo code Corrales, you get $5 off an annual subscription, and that works out to be less than $3 a month. I'm also the author of the Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, a book now available for sale everywhere books are sold online, and on my website, johncorrales.com, for a personalized autograph copy if you would like. Today, the Boston Celtics, fresh off a big 134-107 win over the Houston Rockets, who are very much struggling. It's their 16th loss in a row. Yuck. I'm going to do the good, the bad, and the Robert Williams in this show. So segment one, be the good. Segment two, couple of bad things. Not much. Not much that can be bad in a game that you win by almost 30, but still a couple of things. And Robert Williams is just so awesome that I'm dedicating a whole segment to him. I dedicated a whole piece to him on Boston Sports Journal. You go to Boston Sports Journal, you'll see that piece up there right now, breaking down all of the stuff that he was involved in that, especially that first quarter. So all of this is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15. LOCKED15. You're going to get 15% off your next order. So the good, let's start with this. How about the minutes? That's the best thing. Out of all of this, the minutes played is the most important thing. 28 minutes for Jason Tatum, 27 for Jalen Brown, 26 for Kemba Walker. That is just beautiful. Chef's kiss. Mwah. Love it. All those guys under 30 minutes. The way this schedule is going, it's like a damn day off playing that little. And they weren't the hardest minutes either because they weren't getting trapped. They weren't getting blitz. They were actually playing. I mean, they had to make some tough shots for sure, but they actually got to play a lot of one-on-one. It was good. So anytime you get a blowout, anytime you get a chance to rest your guys, it's great. But for these guys especially, I mean, Jalen played 40 minutes in the last game. Anything that you can get to get these guys off their feet sooner is great. Now, midway through the first quarter, the first part of the first quarter I'm going to save for the next segment, but Marcus Smart came in first, and then Robert Williams came in. Together, they really changed the energy of this game. This was going down that road of, oh boy, this is like the Pistons games, and this is like, you know, the Dallas game. These are games that, you know, you're or the Hawks. You're like, oh boy, these guys should be better than this right now. And they're not. And Marcus Smart and Robert Williams changed the energy. And all of a sudden, the game flipped. Everything changed. All of a sudden, they were getting stops. I mean, the Celtics gave up, what, 34 points in the first quarter? Then they gave up 19 and 19 in the second and third. 35 in the fourth quarter, but that was all garbage time. So that 19 and 19 in the second and third quarter is more indicative of how the Celtics are supposed to play against a team like Houston. That's Houston's in, you know, they've got a lot going on, let's just say. But the Celtics they gave up 28 points with, like, what is it, 5 or 6 minutes to go? And then they went on a run at the end to, was it 18? It was an 18-6 run to close out the first quarter. That's from that stretch. Once it was 28-20, basically from that stretch to the second and third quarter, throughout those next two quarters was just all Boston Celtics. And it started with the energy change from Robert Williams and Marcus Smart. Again, I'm going to get much more into Rob in the third segment. Jaylen Brown, also good, patient. He had a monster third quarter where he finished the game with, 24 points? 24 points, two rebounds to lead the team. Jason Tatum, by the way, 23 points, six assists, a steal, six rebounds. But they each had their big quarter. Like Jaylen Brown's was in the second quarter where he just was dominant. 7 of 10, 16 points. 16 of the 24 came in that second quarter where he played most of it. And it was just beautiful. A couple of tough shots, tough fadeaway. But the biggest thing with Jaylen Brown is his patience. Patient drives. That one drive where he drove hard down the middle, kind of stopped, let the defenders kind of jump past him. Then he spun around and just laid it in. That's a patient Jaylen Brown that you just don't see, or you didn't see prior to, I would say, some point last season, but really on display this season. The biggest development in Jaylen Brown's game has been his ability to drive, be patient, seek out opportunities, understand what's available, and really just have a plan when he drives. Like the plan is, understanding that, okay, I got this space. I can, I got this shot available to me. If I kind of head and shoulder fake, I can get by here. Like he understands everything a lot better than he used to. And that was very much on display in that second quarter. Tatum, like I said, had 23 points. He had more of, like in that first quarter, later in the first quarter when Smart and Rob came in, they kind of opened things up for Tatum, and Tatum ended up scoring 12 of his points there in the first quarter. So that's where he did a lot of his damage. He also in the third quarter, when the Celtics were really putting it away, he and Kemba kind of took turns. It started with Kemba. So Kemba's in the good as well. Now, but Kemba was half good. It wasn't like he was playing poorly, but he wasn't hitting any shots. And in the first half, he did not have any made baskets, only 2 points. But then in the third quarter, he started off, they ran a play, which was nothing special, but they ran it specifically for him. Bring the ball up, get it to, I think it was Jaylen, over to Tatum, back over to Kemba. As Kemba catches it, a pick is coming up. An opportunity there to run the pick and roll and get Kemba off the catch, live dribble, getting towards the basket. That's what Brad Stevens said. He likes that. This is the quote. He likes to get it on his live dribble and attack downhill, but we wanted to give him a chance to attack downhill. His energy was great all night. He was loud and he was engaged, and I thought the game honored him by letting the ball go through the net a few times to start the third quarter. We always talk about the game rewards you if you approach it the right way, and he does that for us, so it's good to see that. So, good coaching, by the way, from Brad Stevens, knowing that, hey, we want to get Kemba here going. If Kemba can get going, at that point, it was the third quarter. The Celtics had a big lead, but not big enough, and they needed a burst. And so, hey, let's get something to get Kemba going towards the basket. Nothing like crazy set play with a bunch of picks and blah, 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 but it's an action designed for Kemba Walker to get towards the basket. And the ball went in, and what do you know? 11 straight points. After a layup, he starts to feel comfortable. look, Kemba Walker is a confident guy and all of that stuff, but when you come out and you know we're running something for you, we're running for something for you to get you a layup, that's meaningful. As a player, you say, all right, let's go. Here we go. Ah, it worked. Now, okay, now I feel good. See the ball go through the hoop. You feel confident. You feel good that the team is focused on getting you some of this, some action here. And you're right. He was rewarded by getting a few of those shots to fall and scoring those 11 straight points. He finally hit a couple of threes. It all worked out. Got to the free throw line a few times. And then after that, it was Jason Tatum's turn. And he scored 11 points to close the quarter. Throw in 8 from Rob in that quarter, and the Celtics win that quarter by a significant amount, 38-19. That's really where, you know, by the time that fourth quarter rolled around, it was garbage time. They got, I think they started with Kemba and Marcus Smart, and they pushed the lead up. At one point, it was 36, and then it was garbage time after that. But the three main guys, Brown with his driving and his patience, Kemba, eventually the team got him that look, and he started getting going. Jason Tatum was aggressive. He went to the basket. His shot chart looks like great. There's a bunch of green in that restricted area. That's exactly what the Celtics needed. So just a nice, easy performance there. And like I said, the coaching, not just to get Kemba going, but to move off of Daniel Tice, because Daniel Tice at the four, now you could say, well, he did start double bigs. Okay, yeah. But that's the only way right now that he's going to get Robert Williams in. And you kind of have to start with the double bigs. I'll get into this in the next segment, but if you almost have to start the double bigs to figure out which one of those guys isn't going to have it. So, anyway, I thought there were some good coaching decisions there. Everybody wants to crap all over Brad. There's good coaching going on along the way. Also, just real quick, Shemi Ojeleye deserves a shout out for his early shooting. He was really a big part of that first half where he was hitting a bunch of shots. He hit like 3 straight 3-pointers. Tristan Thompson, 13 rebounds, 5 offensive rebounds, is a monster on the glass. Just good performances, mostly off the bench. I'm not even going to bother with the garbage time stuff. So we're going to talk about the bad stuff, that double big, and you know, a little bit more of the explaining of that. And that bad start, that's all next here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Hey, wouldn't it be great if there were a pocket-sized guide that helped you sleep or focus or just act better, be better? There is, and if you've got 10 minutes, Headspace can change your life. Headspace is your daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditations in an easy-to-use app. Headspace is one of the only meditation apps advancing the field of mindfulness and meditation through clinically validated research. So, whatever the situation, Headspace can really help you feel better. Are you overwhelmed? Headspace has a 3-minute SOS meditation for you. Need some help falling asleep? I've used Headspace for this before. They've got wind-down sessions that members swear by just to help you get into that sleeping mindset. And for parents, Headspace even has morning meditations that you can do with your kids. Headspace's approach to mindfulness can reduce stress, improve sleep, boost focus, and increase your overall sense of well-being. Headspace is backed by 25 published studies on its benefits, 600,000 five-star reviews, and over 60 million downloads. That's 60. Headspace makes it easy for you to build a life-changing meditation practice with mindfulness that works for you on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. You deserve to feel happier. And Headspace is meditation made simple. Go to headspace.com/lockedonNBA. That's headspace.com/lockedonNBA for a 1-month free trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. This is the best deal offered right now. Head to headspace.com/lockedonNBA today. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football long gone, but the NBA is in full swing. College basketball, we're getting into the tourney, and NHL are in full swing. award shows. I know the Grammys were on. You could have bet on the Grammys if you wanted to. TV shows, reality TV. It's all available here on Bet Online, plus news, scores, odds. It's the best way to place your bet, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today, and you're going to get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. Whatever you deposit, 50% of that is going to be added to your account with the promo code LOCKEDON as a welcome bonus. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Please gamble responsibly.
Be sure to follow our social channels, LO Celtics on Twitter and Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
March Madness is here, and that means bracket challenges. Join our Locked On Listener Bracket Challenge group on ESPN. Submit your March Madness picks, beat your favorite hosts, and if you win, you will get a guest appearance on Locked On Today, our daily news podcast. The link to join is in the show notes of this episode. Get your picks in today. Let's move on to the bad stuff that happened in this game, because there was a little bit of bad in this game. I know the Celtics won by, 27? But they started off looking like crap. They fell behind, and it was really feeling like one of those games that the Celtics have lost against bad teams, and we sit there and we go like, God, why can't they get that energy up? I tweeted out, whoa, Celtics playing down to a bad team? Here's where I fake my surprise. Like, it's just, ooh, I'm so shocked. And it felt like we were going to go through this whole thing again. Just another 48 minutes of, why is this game so difficult? And look, Houston, they're not good. They are without half their team. You know, they've got obviously everything that's happened with the James Harden thing, and PJ Tucker is leaving, and you know, that's enough to just really deflate a team. But to Houston's credit, I think they fought most nights, and they came out hot in this game. So, obviously, first of all, you've got to credit them for making the shots. But the Celtics' defense at the beginning was just god-awful. And it shouldn't be that bad. Like, Marcus Smart came in, and just like he came in the last game, and it's like, hey, everybody, let's play good defense now. Let's start communicating. Like, Marcus Smart and Robert Williams were suddenly the most talkative guys on the floor. And that's just, why can't they be talkative when they are not with Marcus Smart? Because he's not going to play 48 minutes a game. And you can't rely on one guy to be that important to something that isn't like LeBron James level talent. You know, like, it's not like Marcus Smart is Kevin Durant or Steph Curry, where obviously you're going to rely on that one person to do amazing things for your team. Now, Marcus Smart is obviously one of the best defenders in the league. You're one of the best perimeter defenders in the league. One of the smartest guys in the league when it comes to defending. And that, obviously, you want to have that, and obviously you want that boost, and he's going to make your team better. But communicating, just knowing where to be on defense, putting in that effort, that's, you shouldn't need Marcus Smart for all of that stuff. And that's why what doesn't sit well with me with the start of this game. Whatever reason, the Celtics, I don't know, well, they feel like when you're going up against a bad team, like, yeah, well, we got it. Not a problem. And that attitude is part of what's gotten them into trouble. Now, that attitude plus fatigue means that when the other team comes out and pounces on it, means they can't get it back. Now, having Marcus Smart and Robert Williams changing that energy in this game, and being fresh enough, considering they just came off the All-Star break and had a couple days off after the loss to Brooklyn, then they can step up and play well. But if this was February, I don't know if this would have been a 27-point blowout. So I just want to see the Celtics, when they go up against a bad team, just come out and say, you know what? We're not messing around. We want to come out and just punch you in the mouth and let's see how you react to that. You come out and you defend hard, and then, you know, let's see if Houston can hang. But obviously they turned it around, and it's, what are you going to complain about in a game that's 27 points? But this, what I'm talking about, is not necessarily about this particular game. It's just about them, like the next time they face a bad team, it could be the same idea. And if Marcus Smart's hurt again, or just maybe he's having an off night. And if he has an off night, then, oh boy, watch out. So I just want to see more collective effort and focus at the start of a game against a bad team. That's all. Part of the problem at the start of the game, the double big lineup. So I've defended the need, or early on this season, I defended the double big lineups as, hey, we're watching them experiment. They need time to work it out. And they may need that double big lineup. So they should use it, figure it out, and then they can deploy it as needed. Now, circumstances taking Marcus Smart out of the mix have dictated that the Celtics are still shorthanded. And who are you going to start? You know, like, you want to get Robert Williams minutes. I get that. And so you don't know who of Tice or Tristan Thompson is going to be the guy that's got, you know, the right matchup, who's got it going on. And so in this one, it was Tristan Thompson. But why was it Tristan Thompson? Because Houston has no centers anymore. And so they're a smaller, more athletic group of guys. And Tice just can't hang with that. He can't make all of the rotations and hang with all of the players. Now, that's not the greatest group of players. It's not a team that's had any chance at being good for any extended period of time, but it's still, NBA players are still NBA players. Like, even the worst teams, the worst NBA player is one of the 400 best players on the planet. You know what I mean? Like, there are only so many NBA jobs, and the worst of the NBA players is going to be one of the best, absolute best players in the world. And it's hard to remember that sometimes, because when you're watching it in the context of an NBA game and you see a guy struggle, you're like, God, he sucks. He's not good at basketball. And what the reality is that he's extraordinarily good at basketball. He's just not as good as 300 other guys. So all of that is to say that when even a better team has a wrong matchup out there, that guy who Tice is guarding or switched onto or supposed to be on can make a team pay, could make the Celtics pay. And Houston got a bunch of open threes. And look, when you're that open as an NBA player, there's a good chance they're going to fall. So they did. Now, Brad Stevens adjusted. What did Tice play minutes-wise? 6.5. So after 6.5 minutes, and he was a -6, he started and was a -6 in a 27-point win. But after 6.5 minutes, it was pretty clear. Like, we're going to go in a different direction. Robert Williams came in, and the rest we know. But, you know, could very easily have been Tristan Thompson that could have sat And Daniel Theis, now maybe Daniel Theis doesn't get 13 rebounds and 5 offensive rebounds, but Daniel Theis playing center certainly could have done a lot better than Daniel Theis playing power forward. And that's all part of why Theis was probably not very good in this game. But the question now becomes, once Marcus Smart is starter, you know, playing starter level minutes, what happens to the double bigs? Well, at some point, and Brad Stevens talked about this after the game, it's like, at some point, that's going away. And we're going to have to figure out, basically, which one of these guys, because one of these guys is not going to play more. So, in fact, when he talked about it, he said one of those guys isn't going to be playing as much, and it won't be the same guys every night because it'll be matchup dependent. So it might even mean that Robert Williams doesn't play one night, and he can have a stretch of 4 or 5 games where he's awesome and then very obviously has a bad night, and maybe he's just having an off night or the matchup isn't right for him, and he sits. So the future of this lineup is going to mean that one of these guys, Thompson, Theis, Robert Williams, they're not going to be 100% happy. They're just not. So they're just going to have to get used to it. Unless Danny Ainge makes a trade involving one of them in the next 10 days. And it's possible that he will. And I've talked about that a ton, so we'll see. Up next, Robert Williams. And I'm going to make the case that it shouldn't be Robert Williams, although he's going to be the guy I'm sure everybody's asking for. Robert Williams was awesome in this game, especially in the first quarter, and I'm going to talk about that when I come back. March, like I said before, it's bracket time, and for Built Bar, the bracket's all about the best-tasting protein bar that exists on the market. Now, I love my Built Bars. I buy them myself. I eat them. I have one just about every day. And it's either after a workout, or sometimes I have it as a snack in between breakfast and lunch. Sometimes it's just a meal replacement. Any option that you want for Built Bar is a great option. But they are trying to figure out which Built Bar is the best Built Bar. They're now entering the Enticing Eight. I know Cookies and Cream has entered the Enticing Eight, but we are now waiting for them to reveal when you get there on Monday. Toffee Almond versus Mint Brownie. That's the next matchup. Toffee Almond versus Mint Brownie to get out of the Sweetest 16 and head into the Enticing Eight. I'm going Mint Brownie. You can tell I'm not very... I kind of mooed there, I think, a little bit. Mint Brownie? Yeah, Mint Brownie. I'm going Mint Brownie. So, and hey, look, I told you guys Mint Brownie was going to be the way to go. So, I'm sticking with them. I like that flavor. That's going to be tough because Mint Brownie is in line to match up with peanut butter. It's all here on BuiltBar.com. I'm looking at these brackets. Suddenly, I'm taking this like very seriously. Like, oh my God, peanut butter might not get out of the Enticing Eight. Go to BuiltBar.com. Vote for your favorite one. And while you're there, check out the selection. Use the promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKED15, LOCKED15 for 15% off your next order. That's LOCKED15. You're going to get 15% off your next order at Built Bar. Check it out at BuiltBar.com or follow at @bar_built on Twitter. They'll be tweeting out these matchups. @bar_built on Twitter. Check back to see who won this matchup. And who will become the best tasting protein bar?
Make sure you're subscribed to Locked On Celtics wherever you get podcasts or follow us on Spotify.
This is the time of year where we're focused on the future of the NBA, like Cade Cunningham, Evan Mobley, Jalen Suggs. Which of these guys is going to be the biggest of the stars of tomorrow? You want to know? You need to subscribe to Locked On NBA Draft. That podcast now has prospect scouting reports, draft rumors, mock drafts, full coverage of March Madness, 4 days a week from credentialed draft experts. Subscribe today and follow Locked On NBA Draft. Robert Williams, I think, was the big story of the win over the Houston Rockets, and mostly because of his first quarter, which I broke down on Boston Sports Journal. So if you go to the Boston Sports Journal, right now it's going to be up there on the front page, or at the very least at the top of the Celtics page, depending on what time you go, because other sports tends to break. So Robert Williams had a hand in a lot of this first quarter. When he came in, the Celtics were down, and he immediately made an impact. But it's how he made an impact. Like, it's not just that he's a super athlete. And the way I describe it on Boston Sports Journal is that he's not an amazing athlete playing basketball anymore. He's becoming a basketball player with amazing athletic ability. That's the difference between Robert Williams this year and last year. He used to be an athletic freak that was on the basketball court and basically trying to play a basketball game. Now, he's much more of a basketball player that has freakish athletic ability, and that's a huge difference because the plays that he's able to make are different. It's just it might be described as the game is slowing down for him, but he is recognizing things. He's just fundamentally better. A lot of the mistakes that he was making before, and some that he still does, are fundamental mistakes. And that's why I've always been like, Rob needs minutes. He needs to play more. But now this year, and it was on display in this game, he's just, his awareness, his passing, communication, all that stuff, it's all there. So right away, he gets into the game and checks in, and he runs a play with Marcus Smart where he gets the ball at the top of the key, and Marcus is going to go down to the right corner and set a pin down screen for Peyton Pritchard to come up and then get a handoff or a pitch back. Marcus Smart understands, he sees, he recognizes that Houston's preparing to switch this, so he slips the screen. Instead of setting the screen, he dives to the basket. And he puts his hand up, right hand up, as he's diving to the basket. Robert Williams hits him with a perfect pass. Just, I'm watching it right now as I'm talking about it. And it's just, every time I see it, I'm in awe of just the precision of the pass. He's sitting there, he's got the ball chambered, he's like getting ready to hand it off. Next thing you know, it's like a little hook shot of a pass. Perfect to Marcus Smart, who then switches hands and lays it up. Just a beautiful play. The recognition, when you're making a pass, like when you're making a play like that, it's instinct. It's read and react. It's exactly what Brad Stevens wants. The play calls for X, but I've read that this is what's happening. I'm going to make this play. And Robert Williams has to be focused on the entirety of what's happening. Not just, I have the ball up here. Here comes Peyton Pritchard. I've got to hand him the ball. And then I've got to go do this. When you are younger or not as confident, or, you know, when the game's going too fast for you, all you can think of is, this is what I do next. And sure, he might have missed that, and he could have given it to Peyton Pritchard. And hell, maybe Peyton Pritchard would have hit a three-pointer there. I don't know. But the point is that he was aware. He saw the Smart cut. Smart made the right play because no one was at the basket. And Rob hit him perfectly. That's a tough play. That's a tough play for a center to make. It's a beautiful play. And he actually hit Jaylen Brown with a good backdoor cut. Like, Jaylen had a backdoor cut that Robert Williams saw and made the play. Now, Jaylen turned it over, but still, good recognition from both. On the other end, there were a couple of plays where Robert Williams, he had a switch that Marcus Smart was going to the wrong guy. And he immediately sent Smart back to the right guy. And then Smart is now squared up. And then he gets the switch on the next pick, which sends the ball up to the top of the key. And then Robert Williams is now back behind the play, protecting the rim, while Victor Oladipo, after the clock starts to wind down after all of these actions, gets the ball back. It's now trying to dribble against Semi Ojeleye. So what does Victor Oladipo do? He's got Ojeleye in front of him, and maybe under normal circumstances, he can bust Semi Ojeleye and get by him. Except Robert Williams is standing back there, just properly playing, good position, getting in and out of the lane so he doesn't get the three-second call, and just Oladipo sees him and says, I can't drive. As soon as I drive past Ojeleye, Williams is going to come over. And there are only a few seconds left in the shot clock, so I got to go do something. So he steps back and he takes a three, and he short arms it, and he misses. Robert Williams makes that entire play happen for two different reasons: by directing the play at the top, good communication, and then being in good position down at the bottom, understanding where he's supposed to be, and then finally, as the cherry on top, he clears the rebound. Like, just perfect. Later in the game, in that quarter, he bails out Jeff Teague. Jeff Teague gets completely lost, and he's directing him around the floor, directing Teague where to go. Then he picks up his guy, and as Teague's man drives and prevents him from getting to the rim, forces a kick out and another three-point shot that's contested, and they miss. This is all part of how you build up runs. His passing led to baskets on the offensive end. His pick setting, his defensive communication and positioning actually led to stops on the defensive end. That's how the Celtics go from down 28-20 to up 36-32 heading into the second quarter. That's how a lackluster performance turns into a blowout, because Robert Williams comes in, and on top of everything, on top of all of that stuff, his own baskets. He had a putback dunk, because obviously he's going to have an opportunity for a putback dunk, but he also had a really nice move in the paint where he got the ball and made a decisive play and scored. It wasn't a dunk. It was just a good get the ball, make your move, get past the defender, and hit the short shot. It was really nice. So that was a perfect quarter from Robert Williams. Gave the Celtics everything that they needed. Now, at that point, We're sitting here saying, like, great, this is all great. Why not have more Time Lord? Why not have more Robert Williams? Well, this is the other thing that Brad Stevens said. He says, the density of the games and his history, especially last year, were just being conservative. But he's getting a lot better. You can see that. And he's able to play a little bit longer stints than he has in the past because he plays really hard when he's out there. So that's all encouraging. Blah, blah, blah. Rob obviously gives us an upside there. I think we're just going to keep building and building and building. So Brad Stevens directly addresses the minutes thing, where he wants to give Rob some more minutes, but he's trying to build them up to get him to to be able to play more down the road. And he said that before. And this is just, I assume that that's just going to be the plan. That Robert Williams, it's pretty obvious his impact. And you say, well, why don't we start him? Well, maybe moving forward, he does get more starts. Maybe that's something that will happen after, you know, when Marcus Smart gets into the starting lineup and you start Kemba, Marcus, Jalen, Jason, maybe Rob does become the starter. And maybe they figure out a different rotation. I don't know. I don't know how that's going to go. Maybe you eventually start him. Maybe you work him up to playing 25 and then 30 minutes. The hip thing is really concerning. If Brad Stevens, after last year and the flare-up this year that cost him a couple of games, if he's going to these lengths to make sure that Robert Williams remains healthy, then that's the big negative to all of this. That under certain circumstances, under a certain workload, he can be great. Can he be this good with 30 minutes a game? Can he be this good with 30 minutes a game and stay healthy? Like, even if he's this good for playing 30 minutes a game, does that lead to him breaking down? I mean, that seems to be part of the question here, that there's a possibility that he might not stay healthy if he plays too many minutes or stretches that are too long. And so that is part, apparently, clearly, of the concern from Brad Stevens. So we're all sitting there like, more Time Lord, more Rob. And he's like, yeah, about that. We want to make sure we have Rob when we really need Rob. And, you know, before the game, I asked him about the defense, because defense has just been bad around the league. Like, the Lakers came into the night leading the league with a defensive rating of 106, which a few years ago, would have been middle of the pack. And 10 years ago would have been at one of the worst defensive ratings in the league. But this year, it's the best. Defense is difficult this year for a variety of reasons. But one thing that Brad Stevens said was the team that's playing the best defense down the stretch and going into the playoffs is going to be the team with the leg up. So maybe part of this is making sure Robert Williams is available down the stretch and in the playoffs, so the team's overall play defense, especially because he's doing a very good job defending the rim just by being a deterrent, not just blocking shots, which he had three, but by being a deterrent, having that available, having him on the floor, having him able to play longer stints later on. If this is where it goes, and if this plan, keeping him at 20, 25 minutes now, is part of making that happen, then got to be signed up. Got to sign me up for it. I have to be okay with it. Because if the alternative is playing him a bunch of minutes now and having him fall apart, I don't want that. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. All right, going to leave it there. Going to come back. We're Monday through Friday, so got Tuesday through Friday left. This is the Monday episode, so if you are a new listener, hopefully you'll subscribe and take the show with you wherever you're going. Regular listeners, please, 5-star rating, good written review, and share the podcast. Tell your friends that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.
Thank you for making Locked On Celtics the number one Boston Celtics podcast on the planet.